Chapter 52. They hit Hope at 5 in the afternoon. The sun was low. Reacher pulled off First Street and headed down to Third, to the motel. He stopped outside the office. Vaughn looked at him inquiringly, and he said, "Something I should have done before." They went in together. The nosy clerk was at the counter. Behind her, three keys were missing from their hooks. Reacher's own, for room 12, plus Maria's, room 8, plus one for the woman with the large underwear, room 4. Reacher said, "Tell me about the woman in room 4. The clerk looked at him and paused a second, like she was gathering her thoughts, like she was under pressure to assemble an accurate capsule biography, like she was in court, on the witness stand.
"She's from California. She's been here 5 days. She paid cash for a week."
"Anything else?"
"She's a fuller-figured person."
"Age?"
"Young. Maybe 25 or 26.
"What's her name?"
The clerk said, "Mrs. Rogers."
Back in the car, Vaughn said,
"Another one, but a weird one. Her husband wasn't arrested until yesterday, but she's been here 5 whole days. What does that mean?"
"It means our hypothesis is correct. My guess is they were on the road together up until 5 days ago. He found the right people in despair and went into hiding. She came directly here to wait it out. Then he got flushed out by the mass mobilization yesterday and bumped into the wrong people and got picked up. The whole town was turned upside down. Every rock was turned over. He was noticed."
"So where is he now?"
"He wasn't in a cell, so maybe he got back with the right people again." Vaughn said,
"I knew I had heard the name. His wife came in with a supermarket delivery guy. He drives in from Topeka, Kansas, every few days. He gave her a ride. He mentioned it to me. He told me her name."
"Truck drivers check in with you?"
"Small towns, no secrets. Maria came in the same way. That's how I knew about her."
"How did Lucy Anderson come in?" Vaughn paused a beat.
"I don't know. I never heard of her before the Despair PD dumped her at the line. She wasn't here before."
"So she came in from the west?"
"I guess some of them do. Some from the east, some from the west."
"Which raises a question, doesn't it? Maria came in from the east, from Kansas, but she asked the old guy in the green car to let her out at the MP base west of Despair. How did she even know it was there?"
"Maybe Lucy Anderson told her? She would have seen it."
"I don't think they talked at all."
"Then maybe Ramirez told her about it. Maybe on the phone to Topeka. He came in from the west and saw it."
"But why would he notice it? Why would he care? Why would it be a topic of conversation with his girlfriend?"
"I don't know."
"Is your watch commander a nice guy?"
"Why?"
"Because he better be. We need to borrow his car again."
"When?"
"Later tonight."
"Later than what?"
"Than whatever."
"How much later?"
8 hours from now."
8 hours is good.
First, we're going shopping." They got to the hardware store just as it was closing. The old guy in the brown coat was clearing his sidewalk display. He had wheeled the leaf blowers inside and was starting in on the wheelbarrows. Reacher went in and bought a slim flashlight and 2 batteries and a 2-foot wrecking bar from the old guy's wife. Then he went back out and bought the trick stepladder that opened to 8 different positions. For storage or transport, it folded into a neat package, about 4 feet long and 1.5 feet wide. It was made of aluminum and plastic and was very light. It fit easily on the Crown Vic's rear bench. Vaughn invited him over for dinner at 8 o'clock. She was very formal about it. She said she needed the intervening 2 hours to prepare. Reacher spent the time in his room. He took a nap, and then he shaved and showered and cleaned his teeth and dressed. His clothes were new, but his underwear was past its prime, so he ditched it. He put on his pants and his shirt and raked his fingers through his hair and checked the result in the mirror and deemed it acceptable. He had no real opinion about his appearance. It was what it was. He couldn't change it. Some people liked it, and some people didn't. 50 yards from Vaughn's house, he couldn't see the watch commander's car. Either it was in the driveway, or Vaughn had given it back, or gotten an emergency call, or changed her plans for the evening. Then, from 30 yards away, he saw the car right there on the curb, a hole in the darkness, dull glass, black paint, matte with age, invisible in the gloom. Perfect. He walked through the plantings on her stepping stone path and touched the bell.
The average delay at a suburban door in the middle of the evening? About 20 seconds.
Vaughn got there in 9 flat. She was in a black, knee-length, sleeveless A-line dress and black, low-heeled shoes like ballet slippers. She was freshly showered. She looked young and full of energy. She looked stunning. He said, "Hello?" She said,
"Come in."
The kitchen was full of candlelight. The table was set with 2 chairs and 2 places and an open bottle of wine and 2 glasses. Aromas were coming from the stove. 2 appetizers were standing on the counter. Lobster meat, avocado, pink grapefruit segments on a bed of lettuce. She said,
"The main course isn't ready. I screwed up the timing. It's something I haven't made for a while."
3 years, Reacher said.
"Longer."
"You look great."
"Do I?"
"The prettiest view in Colorado."
"Better than Pike's Peak?"
"Considerably. You should be on the front of the guidebook."
"You're flattering me."
"Not really."
"You look good, too."
"That's flattery, for sure."
"No, you clean up well."
"I try my best."
"Should we be doing this?"
"I think so."
"Is it fair to David?"
"David never came back. He never lived here. He doesn't know."
"I want to see your scar again."
"Because you're wishing David had come back with one, instead of what he got."
"I guess."
Reacher said, "We were both lucky. I know soldiers. I've been around them all my life. They fear grotesque wounds. That's all. Amputations, mutilations, burns. I'm lucky because I didn't get one, and David is lucky because he doesn't know he did." Vaughn said nothing. "And we're both lucky because we both met you."
"Show me the scar."
Reacher unbuttoned his shirt and slipped it off. Vaughn hesitated a second and then touched the ridged skin, very gently. Her fingertips were cool and smooth. They burned him, like electricity.
"What was it?"
"A truck bomb in Beirut."
"Shrapnel?"
"Part of a man who was standing closer."
"That's awful."
"For him, not for me. Metal might have killed me."
"Was it worth it?"
"No, of course not. It hasn't been worth it for a long time."
"How long a time?"
"Since 1945.
"Did David know that?"
"Yes, he knew. I know soldiers. There's nothing more realistic than a soldier. You can try, but you can't bullshit them. Not even for a minute."
"But they keep on showing up." Yes, they do. They keep on showing up.
Why?
I don't know. Never have.
How long were you in the hospital?
A few weeks, that's all.
As bad a place as David is in?
Much worse.
Why are the hospitals so bad?
Because deep down to the army, a wounded soldier that can't fight anymore is garbage. So we depend on civilians, and civilians don't care either.
Vaughn put her hand flat against his scar and then slid it around his back. She did the same with her other hand on the other side. She hugged his waist and held the flat of her cheek against his chest. Then she raised her head and craned her neck, and he bent down and kissed her. She tasted of warmth and wine and toothpaste. She smelled like soap and clean skin and delicate fragrance. Her hair was soft. Her eyes were closed. He ran his tongue along the row of unfamiliar teeth and found her tongue. He cradled her head with one hand and put the other low on her back. A long, long kiss. She came up for air.
We should do this.
We are doing it.
I mean, it's okay to do this.
I think so, he said again.
He could feel the end of her zipper with the little finger of his right hand. The little finger of his left hand was down on the swell of her ass.
Because you're moving on.
2 days, he said. 3, max.
No complications. Not like it might be permanent.
I can't do permanent.
He bent and kissed her again, moved his hand and caught the tag of her zipper and pulled it down. She was naked under the dress, warm and soft and smooth and lithe and fragrant. He stooped and scooped her up. One arm under her knees and the other under her shoulders. He carried her down the hallway to where he imagined the bedrooms must be, kissing her all the way. 2 doors, 2 rooms. One smelled unused, one smelled like her. He carried her in and put her down, and her dress slipped from her shoulders and fell. They kissed some more, and her hands tore at the button on his pants. A minute later, they were in her bed. Afterward, they ate. First the appetizer, then pork cooked with apples and spices and brown sugar and white wine. For dessert, they went back to bed. At midnight, they showered together. Then they dressed. Reacher in his pants and shirt, Vaughn in black jeans, and a black sweater and black sneakers and a slim black leather belt. Nothing else. No gun? Reacher asked.
I don't carry my gun off duty.
Okay, he said. At 1 o'clock, they went out.